question. Do you like to dance? Boy, I sure do. Many cherished memories during my past 41 years on this earth involve dancing through the most important moments of life. When Kathy and I married 15 years ago, our first dance was the UB40's version of the song Can't Help Falling in Love with You. You know that one, at least many of you should. It's a classic. Now, at the last service, Kathy was here, so I got the chance to sing the chorus to her, but she's not here. So who should get this song? Ilsa! Ilsa. And I can't help falling in love with you. Don't tell my wife we did that. It's a little moment, just you and I. Okay. Thank you. And, of course, apologies to the Elvis fans out there, right? Elvis recorded it first, though in my humble opinion, UB40 recorded it best. You may not agree. That's okay. We picked that song, Kathy and I, and that version, because that's what was playing in the background during our first kiss, way back when, 21 years ago, in the spring of 1995. We were in a gazebo near college in Valparaiso, Indiana, and it had begun to rain ever so softly. As we leaned in for that first kiss, the song echoed in our heads. Kathy and I wanted to bring that moment and that song with us into our first dance and into our marriage for years to come. So far, so good. These days, our favorite dance moments involve our children. When you have a 2-year-old and a 6-year-old and they start to get crazy at home, and they do, doing all those things young kids like to do, like yelling, fighting over toys, and basically running around with their heads cut off, putting on some music and having a family dance acts as a magic elixir. It helps soothe the savage beasts that sometimes go by the names of Hannah and Graham. We do call them that sometimes. And in moments of putting on that first tune, all that youthful energy is focused, transformed into youthful, joyful dance. Hannah's a spinner most often. That's her style. Elegant and carefree, flowing to the music, sometimes with mom or dad, sometimes going solo, moving with ease right alongside the music. Now, Graham, he's more of a jumper, maybe a headbanger. My guess is when he gets to college, he'll enjoy hard rock, maybe alt rock, maybe even some heavy metal. And when he goes to concerts, he may well hop into that mosh pit. That's the big fracas, right? The energy at the front of the crazy concerts. He might do that, just like his daddy did back in the day. For our entire family, music and the dance it encourages serves as a release from our daily cares, from our anxious moments, into a place of motion, of peace, of life. This concept of motion and the life it brings is part of Scripture from the very beginning. In the creation story found in Genesis 1, verse 2, the Spirit of God moved over the waters, even before God had separated the darkness from the light. Other translations say it a little differently, that the Spirit of God hovered, swept over, or came like a mighty wind. In each, the takeaway is the same. Motion precedes life. The passage from Ezekiel 37 you heard earlier, the story of bringing dry bones to life, is another one of those moments where motion precedes life. The translation we're using today from the Message says it like this. God grabbed me. God's Spirit took me up and led me around a lot of bones. There were bones all over, bleached by the sun. God's Spirit said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Oh God, only you know." The Spirit said to me, "Prophesy over these bones, dry bones, listen to the message of God." And then God told the dry bones, "Watch this. I'm bringing the breath of life to you, and you'll come to life. I'll attach sinews to you, put meat on your bones, cover you with skin, and breathe life into you. You'll come alive, and you'll realize that I am God." That's exactly what happens. Ezekiel prophesies over the bones, and God moves, putting bone to bone, attaching bones with sinews, putting meat on those bones, covering it all with a fresh coat of skin. And then God's Spirit breathes into those bones, bringing life out of death, recreating what had been horribly broken, taking stillness and finality, moving it into a place of motion, making it possible for God's people to dance once again. God grabbed me, Scripture says. God's Spirit took me up and led me. Almost reminds me of a middle school dance with those boys sheepishly on one side of the room and the girls sheepishly on the other. And in the middle of all that awkwardness, hope, and expectation, God's Spirit grabs you, takes you, and leads you into the dance. Hold on to that thought of being grabbed and led by the Spirit. We'll come back to that a bit later. Our text from Acts 2 is another one of those moments where the Spirit's motion precedes life. Many of those gathered in the upper room that day had traveled, worshipped, served, performed miracles right alongside Jesus over the course of 3 years. And then, in 6 weeks, they experienced his death, his resurrection, and ascension into heaven. All in 6 weeks. At that point, Jesus was no longer with them, at least in bodily form. Imagine what those gathered there that day might have been thinking. Where did he go? When will he return? What should we do now? If I were there, I'd likely be afraid, not knowing what was to come next. Then, in the middle of all those unknowns, an amazing thing happened. A roar of wind entered the room, and flames of fire danced over each person, filling them with the Holy Spirit. Those gathered spoke in new languages, be they Jew or Roman or Greek, and were understood by everyone, regardless of their native tongue. When the Spirit moved that day, it broke down the walls that divided them, and sometimes divide us, walls of language, of ethnicity, of nationality, of religious differences. And in its place, that moment birthed the Christian church. The Holy Spirit was in motion that day in a big, big way, taking these early Christ followers from a place of uncertainty and of fear and moving them into joy, to motion. From there, the apostles went out into the surrounding countryside, teaching people all Christ had taught them. The apostles were guided out into the world that day by the Spirit to bring this new hope, new life, new motion to all of creation. That same Spirit continues to move in our world today. What amazes me most about all of these Holy Spirit happenings is how the Spirit shows up in the most unexpected of places, in the most unexpected of ways. Before creation was even created, the Spirit was there, moving over the waters. In the midst of a valley of dry bones, the Spirit was there, breathing new life into what had long since been dead. In that upper room, among uncertainty and fear, the Spirit moved again, bringing with it joy, unity, and purpose. And in my own life, the Spirit moved unexpectedly last spring. It's always unexpected, right, when the Spirit moves? And this motion totally caught me off guard. I'd like to share a little bit about that experience and what it now means to me. The day started out normally enough. I found myself in traffic driving to work. Pretty typical. My work at the time was the role of a chaplain intern as part of CPE, or Clinical Pastoral Education. As a chaplain, my role was to visit with people in hospice and provide spiritual care for clients nearing death. Now, CPE is another one of those seminary requirements designed to crack you open, to immerse you in new experiences, and help you process your own baggage before becoming a pastor and helping people to overcome their own baggage. And yes, all of you have baggage. I do too. That's okay. Even this guy back here, from what I hear, it's a rumor, also has baggage. It's kind of part of the gig. Anyhow, there I was, driving to a chaplain's meeting and listening to the secular FM radio. I remember hearing the song Shut Up and Dance by the group Walk the Moon starting to play. You might be familiar with this one as well. If not, that's okay. It was the number one summer smash hit last year in 2015. Now, at the time of this personal epiphany, I'd heard the song a few times before. I remembered liking it, but something in this particular moment struck me in a new way. In this song, I now heard the Holy Spirit and understood a major depressive episode I'd had a few years ago. and saw it then in a new light. The song hit me hard enough that I sat there in the car driving on the turnpike and was moved to tears. Right on the turnpike. It might sound strange, but I'd like to share with you what these lyrics now mean, at least to me. To take this journey into new meaning, I'd like you to consider a Holy Spirit calling us away from our own baggage, our brokenness, and towards a new walk, or perhaps a dance with the divine. We'll go through the lyrics line by line. On this story, the Holy Spirit is feminine. In Hebrew, the word for spirit is ruach, and that has a feminine root. Some view the spirit in masculine terms or with no gender at all, and that's just fine. But in this story, to fit with these song lyrics, we'll consider a feminine Holy Spirit. Song lyrics will also be shown on the screen over here to help you follow along. The song begins. Oh, don't you dare look back. Just keep your eyes on me. When hearing this, I'm reminded of when I was agonizing over whether to keep my job in corporate America. At the time, I was absolutely miserable in a downward spiral of a depressive fog and needed release. Don't you dare look back, the Spirit beckons. Just keep your eyes on me, she says. We're going somewhere new. This conversation with the Holy Spirit continues. I said, you're holding back. She said, shut up and dance with me. This is so typical. I want to follow Christ. I want to be led by the Spirit to new and exciting places. But my selfishness, my brokenness, well, that still takes the lead. Look, there I go again, trying to tell the Holy Spirit how to do her thing. It's like when Jacob wrestles the angel to get his blessing. I want that blessing, but I want it my way. You're holding back, I say to the Spirit. Give me that blessing. She corrects me directly, yet elegantly. Shut up and dance. Shut up and dance with me. The song moves from conversation to realization. This woman is my destiny. She said, oh, shut up and dance with me. We're being led by the Holy Spirit, not just to dance with the divine, but to leave our pride, our selfishness, our sense of control. To leave all that, to push it aside, and to dance, letting the Holy Spirit instead take the lead. That's no easy thing. We'll need frequent reminders to drop our perceived need for control, and to shut up, to be at peace with following, to dance with the Spirit. The lyrics then take me to another time of personal darkness. We were victims of the night, the chemical, physical kryptonite, helpless to the base and the fading light. Have you ever found yourself a victim of the night, tossing and turning in bed, unable to sleep, lying awake, not able to find the peace of a full night's rest? In my dark fog of depression, I definitely had this problem. Sleep was elusive. I felt like a victim, suffering and in mental anguish. I felt alone. The Holy Spirit suggests otherwise. We were victims in the night, she says. We are not alone. The chemical and physical effects of depression are inescapable. Depression is commonly linked to low levels of serotonin, a chemical in the brain that regulates things like mood, memory, sleep, and appetite. It's pretty important stuff. Too little serotonin can't help but have physical effects, like not being able to sleep and withdrawing from friends and family. At the time, this was my world. That kryptonite reference, that's a curious one, right? Kryptonite, that's the Superman thing. Kryptonite, that's the radioactive element that takes away all of Superman's powers, making him weak and vulnerable. This is not unlike the effects of depression, which for a time took away anything I'd call a life. But all that sounds very dark and horrible. There's more to the story than that. I'm reminded again that we were victims of the night. We, me and the Holy Spirit, having some all-nighters, hanging out together. Perhaps the chemical effects of depression and the effects that drew me away from certain things were those same things that drew me toward something new, like this offer to dance. The lyrics then find fate is in play. Oh, we were born to get together. Born to get together. We are all born in a fallen, broken state, separated from God from the beginning, trying to find our way back into the Garden of Eden, back to relationship with our Creator. But how? Well, Jesus paid that price, covering our brokenness and faulty nature, restoring us to newness of life. What now? We dance. We dance. We dance into the world around us with our new dance partner, the Holy Spirit. Why, yes, it's beginning to make some sense to me. We were born to get together, each of us, finding new life as we dance with the Spirit. Perhaps this is the right time to begin, the song suggests. She took my arm. I don't know how it happened. We took the floor. Finally, the dance has begun. It's the Spirit that reaches out, taking your arm, leading you into the world. Do you know how it happens? I can't say that I do. I do know this. The more I let her lead, the more adventure there is, the more fulfilling life becomes. The lyrics then offer a reminder. She said, oh, don't you dare look back. Just keep your eyes on me. I said, you're holding back. She said, shut up. Shut up and dance with me. My takeaway from her reminder? There will always, always, always be that voice in your head that wants you to take the reins back, to take the lead, to ignore the Holy Spirit and do things your way. But we all know, each of us, what happens when we try to go and play God. Nothing overly good. Shut up, the Holy Spirit says. Dance with me. The story then ends with a look ahead. Deep in her eyes, I think I see the future. I realize this is my last chance. Dancing with the Spirit is a very intimate, personal thing. And when you do it, your future will change. You will see it differently. You'll never be quite the same. And while I don't think this is my last chance to dance with the Spirit, it's a very good chance and an opportunity I don't plan to pass up. You've heard stories from Scripture this morning, a few personal stories too, but what about you? What about you? To help you answer that question, I'd like to play a video that uses this song, Shut Up and Dance, in a super fun way. In it, you'll see 88 different dance scenes from various movies. You'll likely recognize a lot of them. As you watch and listen to the lyrics, meditate on what this dance with the Spirit may mean. Do you like to dance? Boy, the Holy Spirit sure does. When she asks you to dance, to be her partner, will you stand up and follow her to the dance floor? And if you do, will you let her lead? Shut up and dance, the Holy Spirit whispers. Dance with me. Amen.